It's me, Alicia Souza, and you are listening to the Pencil Paper Podcast. Oh my god! Wow! Start again, sorry.
Okay, let's do it.
So editing is happening now, okay. Hello, why do I say that? I know it's paper pencil, but anyway, pencil paper, okay. Okay. Hello, it's me, Alicia Souza, and you are listening to the Paper Pencil Podcast.
Amazing. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Paper Pencil Podcast Season 2. I, of course, am Swar Navo. You can call me Swar, the host of this show. And this is a place where I have gotten the chance to have lovely conversations with people from the art world. If you enjoy listening to this episode, do consider subscribing and do the amazing job of telling your friends about this show. Now, ever since I started this podcast during the 2020 lockdown, I've had the wonderful opportunity to speak with a whole bunch of amazingly talented human beings from the art world, right? One person who has remained the most requested guest is this woman sitting in front of me today. Over the years, people have asked me countless times to get her on this podcast. Well, after all these years and a few emails later, here we are. So today is my moment to fanboy for the entirety of this episode. She has been one of the pioneers when it comes to illustrators in the country, or at least for me. Back when I started off, you know, with my day job, the only illustrator I knew of who actually was making it big in real life was Alicia Souza. And ever since then, she has just grown in all possible ways. I've seen her style getting stronger every year, I would say, right? I've been guilty of owning a bunch of things made by her merchandise. And I have gone to Brick Oven multiple times, hoping to get to see her there. Only later I got to know that she goes to a different branch altogether. She has been an inspiration to countless artists I know. We have spoken about her, admired her over quite a few episodes of this very podcast series as well. Now, I'm making this sound almost like a TED Talk, which she has also facilitated a few times, by the way. I don't think I need to introduce any further. It's Alicia Souza at the end of the day. So, Alicia, welcome to the Paper Pencil Podcast. You have no idea how long I have waited to say this previous line.
Thank you so much. That is like the sweetest introduction. Thank you so much. Really, you made my day already.
Okay. Sure. I'm sorry. I'm sure you're not just saying it, but yeah. All right. So, you know, I don't think I really need to introduce you for real, because I don't think there is a single person, you know, in the art world, at least in the country right now, who does not know who you are. Who has not been, you know, inspired by whatever you have been doing, your merchandise, your doodles, or even, you know, another thing which I probably want to talk to you about today. You know, Alicia, yes, you know, she is the one with that one particular style which is instantly recognizable. You know, I have seen so many people try to copy you, but that's okay, because, you know, they kind of look up to you, I guess. As long as they are kind of giving you credit. But yeah, coming back, the idea is, you know, I also want to know about something else, which I believe a lot of people don't talk about, which is Alicia Souza, okay. If I may call it the entrepreneur, the businesswoman, because I subscribe to your style of work, the kind of, you know, illustrations that you do. But more than anything else, I'm really in awe of the brand you have been able to create. And you know, I told you before the recording, been following you since 2014, 15, 16, I guess. I don't even
know. Wow,
remember.
Okay. It has to be right. Story,
right? But over the years, I have seen that brand, you know, building up, and that I'm sure that has taken a lot of conscious efforts. I would like to know about that as well, if possible, today. But before all of that, before the recording, I told you this. You know, I know you from 2014, 15, you know, the illustrator. Mm. I know you, you know, and the whole gang that comes with Alicia Souza, you know, George, Charlie, Henry Oates, Oliver, of course, right? And your parents as well.
That's so sweet. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, I don't know you before that. Like, you know, I don't really know a lot about you before, you know, 2014, 15. So why don't you take us through your journey? I'm sure a lot of people would be interested. Sure. Where did all this begin? Was there, you know, is there a backstory? Is there an origin story to this superhero called Alicia Souza? Let's go for that.
Okay. I was just born in 2015, and I just started off as an illustrator.
Come on. Oh, come on.
Sorry. Had to throw in a bad joke. Okay. Okay. I was born really long time. Okay. Not so long, but I was born in the Middle East in Abu Dhabi. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I'm going to tell you all the details that pertain to being an illustrator. So I used to draw as a kid, but honestly, not like excessively. Like I know a lot of parents come to me and be like, oh, dear, the kids draw so much. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, I did not draw a lot when I was a kid. I used to like making stuff, I think a lot more. Like I'd put things together. I think it was more crafty. And I was a relatively good student. I did not think at all that I was going to be an illustrator, like at all. There was, if I had to put it on the list of things I was going to do, it was very much at the bottom. Because I was a relatively good student, I was really good at math. I just figured I would be, I would be something. I was going to be get into accounts, or I was going to get into I remember there was these tests. Yeah, I know, super. The worst part of my month is doing my accounts. Anyway, but there were these tests that you have to do for what's the word for it? Where you they analyze what you're like leaning towards in terms of what you are good at.
It's not IQ.
I don't know why.
But which year was this? Okay, my, so give me a timeline.
Oh, 100 years ago. Okay, so I was born in 1986.
Oh, okay. So, not that far away. It's okay, not that far away. So what?
Fine enough, long time.
36. You're 5 years older to me.
Yeah, I am. Ah, okay.
I feel young.
I do not know what I feel, because half the time, I mean, not half the time, I literally forget my age and I have to calculate it ever so often. I lost track when, breaking off the timeline, but I track when someone asked me my age and I gave them, I think I was 33 and I said I was 30. Then George was like, what are you saying? And I'm like, what are you saying? I was like, oh my God, okay, 3 years have passed and I've forgotten that I've grown older. No, but
something which comes with, you know, you being in your 30s, because I can relate to that. Recently I've started noticing that, you know, I have to kind of figure out, okay, when was I born? Which year? Okay, which year?
Yes, exactly.
And then I have to do that math. I think that's like a 30-ish thing, I guess. It, I don't know.
It is. I think also what happens is because you're not so bogged down on age. A lot of people in their 20s are like, I'm 24. Oh, I'm 26. And I don't care if I'm 38. It doesn't really matter, because it's just, I think so much more happens in your... No, that's not true. A lot happens in your 20s. But I think age is not one of the things you just keep track of. There are like 100 other things you keep track of.
I think after 30 people... taxes. Yeah. Taxes come in. I think taxes, you get more serious about taxes and saving after 30. And that's when... I got my health insurance done. So suddenly, you know, I was like, oh, okay, this is also there. Oh, I should have done it 2-3 years ago. Premium would
life
have been
insurance. Yes.
Not
yes.
life insurance, health yes. insurance. I am not a life insurance person. I'm more of a health insurance.
You should get life insurance also. It's okay. Ah. When you reach 36, you will do
okay,
your
maybe that's the next insurance. Milestone. Yeah, that's the next milestone. First health insurance, then life insurance. Is this a policy that is exactly called happening how... right now? Are we trying to sell insurance?
You know, so I will give you my reference number and you will get a 10% discount.
Is that Alicia Souza, the discount code? Is that your website? Are you selling insurance?
Alicia Souza 10. I should have a separate tab.
Yeah, you should. You should like have a couple of CAs also. Branch out. You know.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, you should. Anyway, so 1986, so around that time, yeah.
Okay, so they did this thing and I was actually very highly leaning in towards the engineering section of like doing things, making things, technical side of things, which is not abnormal, because I think I still am a lot more drawn to that side of it. And we never had really art in our household. We didn't have any artists, so I didn't know a single artist. But if I track back, I can think of lots of things that I did that also had like a creative streak, where besides making things, like I was enthralled by the pictures in the encyclopedias. I never really read the encyclopedias, and I still have my encyclopedias, and I still love them, and they were always the cartoons, and I used to cut out the Garfield strips from the newspaper and I used to bundle them together. So there are certain things where I track back and I'm like, oh, I was very creative. But I always say this, it's not that I was creative. I can track back to these instances. But if I was, say, an accountant today, I could track back and say, you know, I love doing math and I should do it as a free time activity as well. So I don't think it was really an intricate part of my, being, but it was one of the things I took forward or happened to come forward. So anyway, fast forward into the 11th and 12th standard. The reason
and this was
I
still
didn't
in Abu
get
Dhabi,
into art, it was everything. I finished
okay.
my schooling. I was born and brought up and finished schooling
right.
in the Middle East. So I finished and I think the one thing that changed it for me was I was very interested in art and we didn't have art in school really. And
oh.
in the 11th and 12th, we definitely didn't have, we had art as a subject, but was not looked like, it was just one of those subjects, which is like,
mm-hmm.
even for us games
mm-hmm.
period was
yeah.
not looked upon like a period. It was almost like if there was extra classes, it's gone. It's
oh.
going. No one's going to be playing games. And because it was Abu Dhabi, it was too hot. So they should
I was
not
just
even,
thinking that, yeah. Yeah, going out
so
and
hot
playing
that
would be,
they,
might
they,
as well
yeah,
stay inside.
It's,
yeah.
Yeah, and they used to let us play inside, and it's absolutely atrocious. Like when I think back, I'm like, how could they? But and so I remember I used to still be going to, like, we had like I think two art teachers in the school. And I used to go back to her, and I used to do the covers of the school magazine. So
oh,
for
nice.
2 years, I did that. And, for Christmas, I used to do the windows and all those things. So the art teacher told me, if you don't take art, she used this line, if you don't take art, you're going to ruin your life. I think she used the line, you're going to ruin your life or you're going to regret it. One of those things.
Wow.
I remember it as ruin your life. And it was a very strong statement to make.
Right.
And it was, I think, because I used to go looking for her work around. She was a fine art teacher or whatever.
Right.
And that changed it for me. And that's when I started, trying to look online. That time there was really nothing out there. And I used to
right.
make logos, a drawing in a book of my name. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Because that was the only thing that kids did that time. Like, there was nothing. Like, there was no images. There was barely anything. So that's what I used to do. We didn't have much of a library also. But I remember there was this one book that I used to keep going to see. So I can track back to all of these things. But I was very attracted to images. And anyway, the one thing also that made me go into it was the fact that I was not deterred from getting into art. So my
right.
parents were like, you want to get into art? You get into art.
Nice.
And if they said even one time that I think you're making a mistake, I would not have been in this field.
Right.
I just would not have been. So
right.
that is, I have to give it to them. Like, I literally owe this career to them because I was very underconfident getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have a, like, I remember I was making a portfolio because they said you have to make a portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to use paints. No one taught me how to use paints. I bought the cheapest paints, which happened to be oil paints. I don't know how it was an acrylic,
oh,
but I bought oil paints
what?
Because,
okay.
and I drew, I used oil paints thick as hell
that's
on
right.
paper. And I'm like, why is this not drying? And it was oily behind because
right.
using A4 normal photocopy
right.
paper, it was just the knowledge was so like little. And I didn't know this years after, because after that I did come to India for 1 year. I'm not gonna get into that too long. And then I moved to Melbourne, and that's
mm-hmm.
where I studied graphic design. And because I went into the second year of graphic design, again, I do not have any studying of illustrating with any medium. So by the
okay,
way, I didn't
okay.
know you use oils with like with mediums and stuff
mediums,
like that.
Right,
I still
right.
don't know how to. I still don't know how to use it really. But I
yeah.
know you can't just use it from. You know,
right, the tube
you don't take
right
it
away.
From the thing. Yeah, it's not watercolors. So,
right.
everything is still an experiment, which is also so much, which is what makes the field also so much fun in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I studied graphic design in Melbourne. It was only 2 years. So in the final year, I realized that every project that I did was illustrated. An award for being like the illustrator, some illustration thing, and
okay.
I was very kicked, and last semester there was an elective called illustration, and I took that elective. It was only a few months, I think it was 3 or 4 months,
mm-hmm.
and it was just 1 hour in the week or something like that. And
mm-hmm.
that class made me realize that I recognize every single thing everyone is saying, because a lot of I'm gonna stamp on a few feet here, but a lot
mm-hmm.
of design is bullshit. Okay, a lot of it. And I realized that because every time I did really well in a class, I know I was bullshitting a lot.
Right. And that got rewarded.
And it did. And it didn't make any, I'm just like, this is nuts, okay? And it's fine. It's not wrong, but it's just not what I love doing.
Mm-hmm.
For illustration, I loved it so, so much. So I made a pact myself that if I was going to get out of uni and I was going to do design, I was going to be in the field, I was going to do illustration. That's it. That's right. The pact I made with myself. It so happens that when I finished uni, I got a call from the newspaper to get my first contract illustration job on the portfolio day, which was amazing. And I was like, I know this is meant for me now, because I got I was the only one who got a call.
Right. The universe is sending signs and stuff.
Yeah, it is. I have to do it. But it was a contract job. It was basically a freelance job. Mm-hmm. I was so new. Again, I didn't know a single illustrator. So I I did the job. I did not even send an invoice because it meant so much to me. And I didn't know how to even do that. I didn't have any reference. I didn't know anything.
So wait, you didn't charge for that.
I was too shy.
You didn't charge for that.
I didn't charge. Did not charge.
This is so, again, I can relate to it so much. This is literally my first story as well. And I was in Pune at that time. And of course, you know, this was the time I had started following you. And I think, you know, again, going back into my fanboy thing again, you know, I think you are the first one from whom I got to know about this thing called illustration. And it's different from the other styles of art, I would say. Because for me, I was like, oh, this is cute, this is nice, but I don't know how to like categorize it, right? Now and because my parents sent me to, you know, these art classes, weekend art classes, since I learned to how to even hold a pencil for that matter. Like,
wow, okay.
I was constantly trained, or, you know, I was exposed to, you know, oil painting for that matter. I never did oil painting, but I had other seniors in my art class who were doing oil painting. So I knew linseed oil, and I could smell those oil. I knew how it was, right? So I would be into heavily into charcoal and stuff like that, dry mediums mostly. But then around 2015, 16, I think, I was, you know, I have been sketching forever. And this one lady, she came up from Bangalore. She came up on my Instagram and she commissioned me for something. And, you know, same thing. I was so happy. I was so ecstatic. Yeah. I was so, you know, this was so unbelievable that I was she was like, okay, how much would you charge? And I said, you know, it's free. It's okay. It's the fact that you've come to me is a big deal. But I think I've mentioned about her before. She was the one who said that, you know, and she's a freelancer herself. And she's like, you know, unless you charge me something, I'm not going to come to you because you have to. And she
That's great of her.
Yeah, exactly. The
whole great of thought. Yes.
Respect your own time and that's
important. Absolutely. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But back to your story,
my God.
Melbourne.
Okay. She sounds amazing, by the way.
Back to your story, Melbourne.
Yeah. So so I did that and then realized, but I had a job all through uni. I was working in a coffee shop and then another coffee shop. And
what were you doing in a coffee
basically
shop?
I was always the barista. Barista and keeping food, I guess. Yeah. So I was.
Were you like the ones who would draw those stuff with coffee on top, like those hearts?
There was no time. There was always hearts because that's the easiest. if they are cute boys, then it will be try to get the heart really good. If you mess it up, you just put chocolate on top. That's about, because everyone orders cappuccinos for some reason.
Right.
Then,
I think it's the easiest thing to order.
Yeah, it also is the chocolate on top. I get mortally offended if you order a cappuccino and there's no chocolate on top, which doesn't happen here as much on the top. It's usually the thing, chocolate. Anyway, so what was I saying? So that always paid my bills as well, but I needed to get a job. I need to get a, obviously have to get a full-time job, but I had like a job to pay my bills. By the way, I know I told you I was an introvert, but that does not scrape what an introvert I was when I was in, then it was hermity introvert. Like, I had like the sweetest roommates, and they cannot believe what I am now to what I was then, because I used to be like, if they'd be like, do you want to go for lunch? I'll be like, no, I'll stay home. And it's just like, they went to Sydney for holiday before uni started. And I'm like, no, why would I go when I can stay home? It was just atrocious. Yeah. So hermity. And
was it also because you changed continents and you came to a different culture altogether?
I think no, actually it was because I used to love being by myself, because I never had when I was home. No, I think it was just also just part of my personality. There's so many things I can give reasons to, but I think it's just, it was intrinsic to my personality at the time. But it changed when it'll come together. After I finished the thing, I started looking for a job. All the design jobs I got, I was very specific that I do want to illustrate, and all of them were like it's if there is an illustration thing, we can give it for you, but it's mostly design. And I was just not keen. Okay, I knew they'd make me do logos or like, you know, setting up magazines. I just did not want to do. I specifically did not like typography. I just did not like doing it. It was very. It was
is
as it was like doing accounts for me.
Alicia, is that
yeah?
The
why I write?
Why?
I handwrite.
Yes, exactly.
It is.
Exactly.
It is literally the reason why.
I
am
never,
not joking.
I've never seen you use any other font.
Don't
apart
use fonts.
Handwriting.
But
your handwriting is so good, man. My mother, I showed your handwriting. I showed your handwriting to my Bengali mother, and you know she has had this complaint with me right since I was a kid that my handwriting, her son's handwriting is the worst possible, and you know she would always compare it with my friends. But then she saw yours, like, see, such a cute, such a nice, legible handwriting. Why can't yours be like this?
Oh my god, okay. Firstly, that is illustrated drawing. Like, that's drawing handwriting. My real handwriting is atrocious. Oh, by the way, I should mention that. Like, yeah, because when you because that is drawn and it will be individual alphabets mostly when I write, draw, right? But if I'm writing, it has to be cursive, right? So it's the fastest way.
Wow.
I'm an extremely quick writer. So it's cursive and it's scribbled.
So the other one should take you a lot of time then.
Oh, this is audio, so I can't even show you my book. So my other one doesn't take time, but it's definitely not as fast. Like, I'm like a really fast writer. So like when in school, if they dictate notes, I would be the first one. My aim was to finish the fastest.
Wow.
So because of that, I'm almost trained to write badly as opposed to the other way around.
You could have been a doctor.
Yeah.
Bad joke, but you could have been a doctor.
I would have loved to. And it was a consideration.
Oh.
But I can't take blood. I can't take...
Okay.
I get queasy. So I wanted to be a vet. It was one of my biggest dreams when I was a kid because I love animals and stuff. But I just could. I could not do it. Blood is just... Actually, now I realize it's not really blood. It's pain. I can't
pain.
See
okay.
pain. It makes me feel sick. Anyway,
right.
So... where was I? Okay. So
Melbourne.
Then I finished. So then I started applying. Da, da, da. I could only find if they needed to do. And oh, by the way, the newspaper told me they'd love to have me. They don't have on-board illustrators. It's all contract. But I need to do more political drawings. Again, there are a few things I refuse to do. And one
the
is
editorial stuff,
politics.
Yeah.
Basically editorial. So you have to get into politics as well. Do not want to do that. I just didn't want to touch that. I have never been attracted to politics. And also, I think being in the Middle East, it didn't really make sense because it was all sheikhs. It was like king and queen.
Yeah.
So it, from that to an extremely intricate political system was like, what is happening?
Right.
So, So anyway, so then I started, then I met Bill Wood is an illustrator. He's a commercial illustrator. I mailed so many companies, but all of them were the design ones. And Bill was the illustrator I mailed. And cutting the long story short, he was the only illustrator I met and worked with. And I saw how an illustrator works. I genuinely believe he formed what I understand as a commercial illustrator, seeing how he... So he really uses it as a... Versus, like, many illustrators work as, I understood it as being an artist, but he was a commercial illustrator, which is why I always call myself a commercial illustrator.
So what's a commercial illustrator? Even I have not heard this
commercial,
term before.
Your tech. Oh, okay. So I call myself a commercial illustrator. It's the same thing as being an illustrator, but I use the word commercial because I do commercial projects. I don't do personal, even though personal projects become commercial in a way.
Right.
I feel like it gives an idea of what kind of work you do. It's
Got
very
it.
Commercial. You do projects, especially when you're starting off. I think like when I started off, a lot of it was, you know, artisty. And that word artist, I don't know, it's got so many variants of what it's meant to by different people.
I
said the word artist, I always believed it's they become fine artists. But technically, even a plumber is an artist in his work if he does it beautifully, you know? So
is it art
because of
it
that,
craft?
I just...
The plumber one, is it art or is it craft?
You know what? That is a very good question. But I think the finished product might be a piece of art.
Okay. That way, sure. You know, the reason why that question came up was, I was reading a book, again, it's become really famous. Hopefully, you know, I'll get to work with the author also one day. It's called Masala Lab by Krish Ashok. It's a book.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure you've seen it, right? In that book, he actually starts off by writing, and it made so much sense. So, you know, I love to cook. I really love to cook. That's something which I really like to do. And, you know, he writes that, you know, in a lot of cases, what happens is the moment people start calling cooking art, what happens is a lot of people who are not into cooking, they probably get a little scared, a little, you know,
That is,
intimidated by
yes,
it.
that is true.
Because you're like, oh,
Yes.
you know, art is very subjective and that's like very difficult to achieve. But if you look at cooking as a craft, which is, you know, you follow a certain number of steps and, you know, you kind of reach to a certain place. And then, of course, you know, you add your magic to that.
Right.
So possibly that becomes a lot, I would say, easier for people to kind of buy into and get or, you know, try their
Fair
hands on.
enough. Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
So,
That's a very, very good point. Yeah. No, very excellent point. Yeah.
yeah, I know. But
That makes sense. Completely makes
random
sense.
detour. Let's come back to your
Yeah.
discussion.
Yeah. But having said that, that's so beautiful because I think that's what I would say as well. Like, I don't think I'm an artist. I would say for me, illustrating is a skill that I developed over time.
I get
But I
that. I get that.
genuinely don't. I was never. The only reason I feel like I got a little better was because I just did it so much, and everyone
Yeah.
else stopped, especially in school.
Yeah, agreed.
Like I always said, I was the default illustrator in school, the default artist, because everyone stopped drawing. It's not that I was the best. It's
Absolutely, I
just that
agree with you.
everyone stopped and there was no one else in the game in a
Agree with
way.
you. Agree
So
with you. Yeah.
anyway, so yeah, and then so I started working with Bill, and that was only part time. Like that would, when I say part time, I mean only when a project came up. But I'd go and meet him, and we became friends.
So
I
what's
think
his name again?
he's
Bill?
Bill Wood, BILLWOOD.
Bill Wood.
He is just, yeah, I adore him. He is just an in he's just a teacher by nature, and I think
Okay.
there's some people who are like that, and sadly I'm not one of those people. I'm a student by nature. I feel like I'm always want to learn. So he's just so accommodating, and he just taught me things like how do you charge, and even though a lot of it was not applicable to India, it's just that idea of being able to send an invoice, or how
Got it.
initially how to word something. It's just I feel like there are people who really changed my life, and he's definitely one of them.
Got it.
Anyway, so I only worked as a freelancer in Melbourne, and I used to get jobs from him or jobs from other people and whatever. But I also worked then in a bank. So after what do you call it? After the coffee shop, I was like, okay, maybe need to get a more full-time job, because make more money.
Right.
And I got it was just opposite the bank. It was, I mean, opposite the coffee shop also, which is amazing, because I
Why
should
did
also be
Alicia
like,
cross the
hey,
road?
yeah, I know. And I should also be like, now I know your coffee order and your bank balance. So that was my joke. But that was
Wow.
so stupid. Yeah, I know, that was
Wow.
so
I love that.
stupid. But the bank was where you think the coffee shop was where you'd get more talkative, but no, the bank was what changed a lot of my personality. But it also might have been because after uni, I started getting more social. Like I
Okay.
met a friend who was my classmate in school in Abu Dhabi. It was just the most random thing. And then we started hanging out, and then we started getting more social. And the bank, you have to talk, you have to make conversation, while the bloody computer took so long to load. It was still on DOS, I kid you not. You had to put in commands
Oh.
by DOS.
Wait, this would
Anyway,
be
so
what,
while
early
that
two
was,
thousands, right?
it was 2000, maybe end of 2000. So I moved here 2010. So it had been 2008,
Eight,
9.
nine, they were still using DOS.
Yeah, it was, and I'm like, why did you change the system? And they're like, because it's a lot of investment. And I'm like, you need to put that investment. This is ridiculous. Anyway, so to do DOS thingies, I can't even remember a lot of. So bad. Anyway, but
Yeah, you
it
would
was
have to type
amazing.
everything, all the commands you
You
have to
had to
type it
type
out.
in. It was just all a command. It was not complicated at all. It was very, very simple. But that made me social. I started talking a lot more over there. And that's when I also started illustrating on the side. And because the bank also was not full time, not 9 to 5 every day, I got a few days a week, which is perfect for me because I had a very low-key lifestyle. I did not need like a lot of money to sustain my lifestyle and save. By the way, I'm like a heavy saver, by the way. So it worked out really well. Yeah, that's another story. Anyway, so it worked out really well. I could draw and I could work, and I genuinely believe this was going to be my life forever, because I felt like maybe illustrating might be a full time would be too complicated to be worrying about where the next job is going to become because come from because I
that.
know that was a big problem with I mean then only Bill I mean Bill and the few illustrators I knew then had anyway then I started I'm making the story very long sorry
No,
this is such
that's okay.
a
That's
I'm
it's
finishing
fine.
there
This is what
okay
I wanted to know because
okay okay
I did not have a clue that Alicia Souza worked at a bank. Actually, by the way, what were you working as at the bank?
I was it, that we used to say wow I forgot the word also customer
Success?
oh god I no customer not customer service oh my goodness wow Alicia I forgot it technically a teller was at the
Technically a teller.
front
Okay, got it. Got it.
technically a teller but it's actually a sales job you think it's a telling job but I had
She
to
is selling the
get people
bank
to open
products in that
accounts
case. Yeah, okay. Makes sense.
in that small amount of time which is why you have to be talkative and you have to
Right.
be you know So
How
anyway,
did
so
you
I think I
apply
was
for
there
the
for a
job?
year.
Like, how were you accepted for that? Like, was it like
I
you had served
truly
great
am.
coffee to the
It is
recruiters?
unbelievable. I cannot believe because so okay. So I think what I understood now when I think back of why I got accepted was because I was very friendly, and that really comes off well when you're at the bank because it's such a dull place in general. But so that's what's only and I was very happy because I was at the front desk with absolutely no knowledge of banking with someone who studied finance for like 4 years. So I was like amazing. I am very
But you
happy with
like
myself.
numbers in your case, you know,
Did
to put your
it
case, you
you
like
I don't
numbers.
think this there's zero knowledge ne requirement of numbers. You're not doing anything in your head and you're not meant to. You're supposed to use your button. So I feel like a lot of things become obsolete in that point. You just have to do sales over there. It's just sales. I'm talking. No, you don't need to know accounts and everything. So when because I was doing yearly, like I was doing decently well at the bank as a teller. That propositions. I remember one guy came and said he was really happy like, with just the way I was talking to him, and he's like, "You should come to the other section of like I was working at." Oh, now I can say ANZ. I was working at ANZ,
ANZ,
and I
ANZ,
like
yeah,
you should come to the So they like
right.
you should come to this. I think it was insurance or housing or something, and you should come there. And I was like, I can do. And I was really interested in financial planning. And there was a guy there, and I'm like, oh, I can see so many possibilities of where I can go. And that's when I was like, okay, I'm gonna stay at the bank. But I was also drawing so much on the side, like so much. And always, and I remember drawing a lot of stationery, and I remember drawing a lot of kids stuff. A
Okay.
lot of like I used to mock a lot of like apparel for kids and like a lot of
So Auntie
cute
Ali
stuff,
stuff,
which
Auntie Ali stuff.
pretty much. And also honestly, it works out to the stuff that I have on my thing, which is just fun stuff, which was not there around at the time. Anyway, so that's so at that point, everything is going really well at the bank. I'm working on the side, and I was on a bridging visa, which was in between, basically, if you want to get your residency, which means that the bank was going to give me an offer. That means I have to stay in the bank for like 5 years, or I can I'll have to obviously move out because then I don't there's no other way to stay in the country. I was considering it, to be honest, because the bank was working out so well for me. And my parents were they were fine with whatever I wanted to do. And they were like, I don't think they'd ever think I would move back. Like it just didn't make any sense because I was doing so well. I loved the place. I loved everyone. It was just working out well. But there was also the whole cutting the long story short. The possibility of starting something new from scratch or starting a brand and drawing whole time, which I've never done, but I knew I could do it. But I had to move across the globe and come to India where I've never lived before. So I was basically a bigger tourist in India than I would have been in Melbourne because I don't even speak the languages or know many people, knew many people. So
But your parents, I understand, were from India, is that correct?
But they moved like right after they got married. So they were there for like before I was born, of course, like for 5, 6 years before I was even born, or even longer maybe. So they've been more out of India than in India by the time I graduated. So oh man, they're like so NRI. It's not even funny. So when I moved, so I moved to India. I didn't okay. So the part like. was very thing was I didn't actually tell my parents when I was doing it or what I was doing because I knew this would be so touchy, and it's completely understandable because if my son did that, it would drive me up the wall, because when you get older, you become more risk averse. Now I would be like, if I had to make a decision now, I'd be like, that is stupid. Please be smart about your decision. But that time you still also have time on your hand. And I had backups. My backup, besides having savings, was that I've been saving since I literally got out of school. So I knew I had a little bit, if say worst comes to worst, I could have a few, I'd have months of rent. That's all I needed. That's literally all I needed. And like tomatoes, because I love tomatoes. That's two things I need.
Not so, chips, wafers. I thought chips was your thing.
It is, by the way. Chips is literally next to me now. But to survive,
Aisha, tell me this. Okay, sorry, I have to ask you. Let's pause the story. We'll come back to you coming back to India.
Okay.
How do you not get cholesterol? How are your cholesterol levels? Tell me this. Because I'm in my 30s as well.
Extremely good. Okay. Extremely good. I tell you why.
I have to stop eating all fried stuff because, my cholesterol is going out of the whole thing.
I do not eat other fried stuff. Chips is literally the only thing I eat bad in my entire, like in the day. I eat so well that everything else, like chips is a small part. So if I put a packet of chips a day, it is literally, like even my dosa is without oil. So I don't, everything else is very boring.
And
that's
why
I don't post food photos. I do.
I do see a gym equipment now, behind you. So I know the
That's like one very optimistic gym equipment, which I am going to be giving away soon to my brother-in-law. but I do, like, I've always, see, I don't talk about workout also because it's something that I do, like brushing teeth. It's just moving. It's not like, I notice a lot of people get into it and get obsessed. Right. I don't, it's just part of life. Like, I don't need to, it's like, I don't know how to explain. I always compare it to brushing teeth because it's so normal and boring that I don't. Yeah, it's like I'll go for a walk or I'll go for a run. It's just part of the day. Something that I have to do that I don't particularly enjoy. But I just have to do it as an adult who, who sits all day. So I don't talk about it. I'm very habit driven. So it's just a habit now.
I figured out about my cholesterol and I checked with the doctor, my doctor was I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do any of those things. I even eat sort of healthy. I'm a Bengali, so I do my fair share of non-vegetarian food. But then he was like, okay, then he figured out it's my lifestyle because, I'm either sitting and, I'm sitting and illustrating or, I'm sitting and working on the laptop. So there is rarely, me running around or walking around. So
I don't think cholesterol. So when I say exercise, I do it for half an hour a day. So I don't think that counts
half an hour
as
hour a day, dude. I don't even minutes.
No, definitely
crazy.
Half an hour. And I have to walk my dog. But no exercise is gonna battle cholesterol. It's food is gonna battle is cholesterol. So how I'm seeing there might be a on the weekend thing, I'm guessing. So I also love as everyone, like you pick your battles, by the way. So
I can't believe out of all the things I'm sitting and talking about cholesterol with Alicia Souza when I should talk about lactation.
So one of the things I love, so a lot of things I love but I don't talk about, and one is nutrition, but I can't talk about it because firstly it's almost like religion now. What's happening is it becomes so biased about what is acceptable, what is not. Like someone will be like, this teaspoon of sugar is like drugs. And I'm like, shut the hell up. You can have that teaspoon and not die tomorrow unless you have like extreme problems with your body. But it is bad. It is horrible. But it's not, nothing's going to happen. So I think it's become, I don't talk about a lot of things which are extremely touchy and nutrition is one of them. I love listening to like podcasts, reading the new sciences. That's my favorite thing. Yeah, but I don't talk about it. Also because I literally only post about chips and not about my boring food.
Yeah, exactly. I have never. So when you mentioned you having dosas without oil, I'm like, have I ever seen any story?
No,
I
don't. Don't put pictures
of. Dosas? Yeah. No. It's either that. So it's either that. It's either that or, you getting stuff from Lavon or Brickoven. I don't know.
Brickoven not very often. Not Brickoven. Pizza, but we make pizza.
You make, yeah, correct. So I think you have that.
Yeah, we make a pizza. Yeah,
But Lavon happens quite a bit. So I do see Lavon happening quite a bit. But again, I didn't know about you going for a run for half an hour every day. Man, you are
not
stupid.
Okay, 1 second. When I say every day now for 1 week I've not, but I will today for sure.
But that's because you were traveling, right? I think if I'm not wrong, yesterday you were in Mumbai, traveling. So that makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm sure you walked in the Mumbai airport from one terminal to the other. So that's quite a walk.
I love walking. I can do it forever, except in Bangalore, there's no walking space. So
yeah,
it's only walking the dog around the building, which is extremely boring. but yeah, it is very boring. But I listen to podcasts.
Coming back.
Getting off to it.
Yeah, so bang happens, then you come back.
Well, so bang happens, came to Bangalore.
And you didn't tell your parents.
Did not tell my parents.
You had rent
my parents
money.
Were horrified. Like, I cannot tell you. My poor parents, I tell you what is the part which is more horrifying now when I think about it. Because I think now, because I have a child, I can see if I saw my child doing this, it would make me like genuinely worry for his decision-making skills. So I moved to India and I'm doing this thing, which they are like, do you know what you're doing? Because I do not know. Like, I just came in on a whim. I do not know anyone. Like in Bangalore, I knew my brother, one person in the whole state. And I have family in Goa, which does not, I mean, it counts, but I do not know, because we lived out of the country.
Right.
I do not know them well enough to be like, I will call them if something goes wrong. I literally only knew my brother.
Do you speak Konkani, by the way.
I do not. It is very embarrassing. I am.
So Goa would be north or south Goa?
We are from the south.
Which side? Kandalim, Binolim?
No, my parents live in Margao now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so they stay in the city now. But otherwise, my dad is from Makassar. It's very small thing. Makassar, and my mom's from Porvorim.
Porvorim, yeah.
I
think it's quite down south, right? If I'm not wrong.
Yeah, we're south, yeah.
Okay, check it. So you know only one person in the whole state.
So near my brother though, is just the nicest person, like, and his wife, just the nicest people. Anyway, I'm really blessed that way. Like, I have the nicest people to, like, if ever my leg was cut off, I know he will. Anyone will come if your leg is cut off. But it's the opposite. Wait, if I was like, I'm feeling down, can you come? He will do everything in his power to make sure he makes my life. You know, that kind of person. Nice. He's just like the nicest person.
And so his wife also. That's good as well.
So, yeah, that is true.
Do you stay in the same side of the city or a different side?
So
like
when I moved, no. So when I moved here, they were far, like a bit far. Like now, when I think about it, it was quite far. It would have been a 40-minute drive at least. So that's the reason I started driving, by the way, because cabs were so expensive, and that time there was no Uber and Ola.
Right.
And you'd never get like rickshaws. I remember once I was waiting for an hour. I was so desperate. I was so upset because I'm like, if something happened and I needed to get to get to someone, I cannot.
Right.
So I started driving.
And this would be around 2010, Bangalore.
This was, 2010 is when I moved here. 2010 is when I moved 10, here.
11. Right, makes sense.
Yeah, 10. So anyway, so I moved here. We started. Chumak was going really well. But about a year and a half later, I won't get into an interview. We parted ways about a year and a half to 2 years later. And I think I always say my journey really as an illustrator began, the scariest part started then, because I literally was in a new place. If I didn't know an illustrator in Melbourne, God, I did not know anyone over here. And I'm like, what? I remember people telling me that they know artists who are like brilliant. They cannot even get a job to paint walls. Like, I remember hearing that line. I remember I'm like, I'm going to be that starving artist. And I'm such a stickler for making very logical choices. So I'm not like one of those, I'm not an artist where I'm like, I want to be a starving artist. You know, I love it, but I'm very logical in a way that, you know, it has to be able to I have to be able to make a living. But also the problem is in India, you can't get, like say in Melbourne, you can get a job in a bank. It'll pay you enough for you to get your rent. And have like, when I say a decent standard of living, I'd be able, besides to earn tomatoes, I'd be able to, you know, afford to get public transport. Just let's say that. In India, that's really hard, and you're not going to get that job. Just because I'm friendly, they're not going to give me a job at a bank. Because
Right.
they're like, they will take, it's very, very by the book. They want people from finance. You would have had to have
Very
a finance
process-oriented,
degree.
yeah.
Even, yeah, and it's quite silly, to be honest, because really the job, most jobs behind desk do not need anything but,
Communication skills.
anyway, that yeah, it just needs experience. I mean, you sit
Yeah.
behind with someone, you'd be able to learn that job. And I
Right.
think that's for most jobs at the basic level, including my
Apart
job.
from a surgeon,
You,
maybe. Apart from a surgeon. I'm not
of
going to go
course,
into
of
detail.
course. Yeah, but that also is training, right? Like, it's all training.
That's
Like,
true.
even if you're
That's true.
studying to be a surgeon, you have to stand with a surgeon to learn how to do it.
True, true,
It's
true,
all
true.
skill based. So, anyway, I'm not demeaning jobs in any sense, but I think a
Right.
lot of jobs comes down to starting off and working behind someone, or starting off and,
True, true.
you know,
And
learning
also,
on the job.
I
Learning on the
don't
job
know
is the word,
on
I think.
yeah, and on that note, I don't know why a lot of people don't switch careers too often. I'm not talking about jobs, I'm talking about careers. I have done it once in my life and I can vouch for it, like what you said. You can learn things on the go and you can actually become
Yes.
better. And yet you see so many people, just staying in that, like, that nine, I'm not, again, not demeaning 9 to 5 as well, but again,
Yeah.
a 9 to 5 in a place where you are enjoying yourself doesn't seem like a 9 to 5. It seems like you're really
Yeah.
happy and passionate about that, right? So yeah, I but again, to every, to each his own.
But
After.
by the way, have talking about 9 to 5, I envision the best life as having a 9 to 5 job. Like having
This
a
is
nine
the
to five job, and that's
security.
what I imagine the bank. Yes, exactly. So and that's why I say savings. For me, security, the best one, was the ultimate goal from life. And there are many reasons for this. Again, I won't get into that. But being able, that's why I thought the bank was amazing, because I could do a 9 to 5 job, get paid decently, come
Right.
home and do what I love, which is drawing, and not
Right.
have the worry of getting paid for it, but still enjoying myself.
Right.
So I do believe that you work, do work in a job that you like, at least at the bare
Like,
minimum.
yeah.
You should not hate your job. That is a big no. I don't believe you should spend your life hating doing like
Something, yeah.
something for half your day and hate it. That is a big no. But you
Actually, more
don't
than
have to
half a
do
day, right?
something.
It's not
Yeah,
half a
more
day.
than
Look at it, more than
absolutely,
half a day.
because you
Yeah.
get absolutely, absolutely. It's not meant to be more than half. So I don't
I
believe you
know.
should be working more than half.
I
But anyway,
know.
but
But then you have to
I don't
travel
know.
to
So, you know.
Indranagar from Electronic City.
Yeah, then I was like, but if you're taking travel time, then oh well.
Exactly, exactly.
Anyway, so anyway, okay, coming back to, so anyway, so I was here, I did not know anyone, and I got my first job. Again, I think this is where luck comes in. I got my first job with, funnily enough, Pratham Books. It was my
Oh,
first,
hey, I didn't
yeah,
know
I it was,
you
no, wait, when I say, wait, no, I was not with Pratham. They gave me my first contract job.
Ah, so
So
you're an
as a
illustrator
freelancer,
with
they were my
Pratham,
first, no, I just got one book, to do one book. It was like a freelance
Wow.
job, got money, and that really,
Which book was this? Was this the first children's book? I need to dig this up. Which
do
book
not,
was
please do not, because I did such a
this?
bad job. Now when I look back at it, it's so bad. Like, I don't even think I have a copy. I have to go and see. But it's not a good book. I'm very embarrassed, because they were so nice. Oh my God. And the editor at the time,
Is it to do with
Amala,
Christmas? I found
it
it.
is.
It's on the Pratham Books website. The store is there.
Storyweaver,
Not
it is,
Story Weaver,
and
so the store is there. A Story
not
Weaver
one.
also, yeah.
It became like a recommended CBSE reading something. And I'm like,
What
how?
are you
But I'm like,
saying?
this is for the words. This is not for the pictures. Because the pictures are really bad. But anyway, I give myself some slack, because it was like literally when I just started,
This is
and
your early style. I see the cover right now. I do see. It's your early style.
it's fine.
You can kind of draw correlations. Yeah. Okay. Then what happens? So,
So
by the
I
way, for
remember
the listeners,
Googling.
the book's name is, I know she'll hate it, but the book's name is Sam's Christmas Present. It's available for
Oh
40 rupees
man.
only on the Pratham Books website in case you want to buy it. But yeah, let's go back.
You will notice all the faces don't match up.
Oh, okay. Throughout the book, is
And
it?
yeah, it's like this Sam is looking different everywhere. There's an approximation of how he looks. Good, there's only one character in it. I like, but anyway, they were like, darling, oh man, I have such a soft corner for them because of it. Anyway, then from then I started getting jobs, and I started also getting out of, like, I was still, even though I used to be like talk to people and stuff like that, but I used to be still very much an introvert when it comes to work. Like, I'd want to work alone, I don't want to talk to, I don't want to definitely still not charge outright. I didn't know, firstly, in Melbourne, we used to charge by the hour. Understood approximately how you charge by an hour. But over here, how do you charge by an hour? You cannot. People just don't have that hourly rate for illustrating specifically.
I know.
And even now when I think about it, I'm like, that's weird. Why would you charge by the hour? but that's how they did it back then. Over there. I don't know if they still do it, but anyway. I didn't know how to charge. Who do I reference?
Right.
I don't know a single illustrator. I Googled it. I remember very specifically finding only Samir Kulavur, who I God, I love him. I just absolutely love him. But he's a master and he is also an artist. When I met him, he was leaving commercial work completely. He was like, I'm on my way to leaving commercial. I don't know if he still does it or not, but like that's what he mentioned then. I don't think I mailed him because I was so intimidated. I didn't know what the hell to do. But I used to meet through, I remember my boyfriend at the time, not George.
It's okay.
He used to work, He had some friend of his, He had some friend who wanted some illustration work. And that was my second gig. And through that, there was another one. And then I started getting a few more jobs. And I started posting on Facebook at the time. It was not Instagram, it was Facebook. And that's when I started getting jobs, like slowly, slowly, slowly. And I still didn't have a portfolio.
I just was slowly. 18?
Yes. And I used to, and that's when I started getting diligent with posting on Facebook, because for me, that was literally the only way I could get a job. I remember for me, I had to make it work because I was supporting myself since college now. How am I going to, I cannot ask my mom for money. And there was this big thing, like that's another story altogether, but I was real, like I had to make it work. So I didn't have a plan B. I was like, okay, even if I move out of the country and say I go to the Middle East, I had Charlie with me. And I know it's so silly, but I'm like, I cannot leave him.
Right,
so if I go to the UAE, will I get to a design job, which I said I wouldn't do my entire time when I left school? And like, you know, all these things came up. I'm like, I was drawing all this while, can I be an illustrator? I don't know anyone who. So anyway, I used to, like, I really was head down since then. And I was like posting online every day, da 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 da. And then I think it was 2 years after that, or a year and a half after that, that I realized that I was actually getting steady work, and I started getting bigger projects, and I started getting corporates. And that's when I realized, okay, it's working out. But till then, it was a little heart-wrenching, honestly, because I had to also tell my parents that it didn't work out for the reason I came.
Right.
Which was very, very, and they were the ones who like really let me go from the beginning.
Beginning,
so for me to say, you know, it didn't work out, not only in the field that you allowed me to pick, but move cross country. They didn't allow me to move cross country, but I did it. So I just didn't want to I wanted this to be a non-error. I wanted it to be a right decision.
Right.
So I had to. So anyway, so after some time, I just realized I started working out, and then I never wanted to get back into product. But I remember there was Sunday Soul Sante is a flea market that happens here, and I put up a stall. I feel like I didn't have like the confidence, but a lot of people started asking, hey, do you have this on a mug and stuff like that. I remember there was an illustration that got a little more viral, which was like that, how to wear a lungi. And it was like one of those old drawings. And then I was like, okay, we'll put it on. And everyone's like, can I have this on something? Can I have? And I was like, I didn't want to make something. I was still a little shy. I'm like, I don't want to do that. Anyway, so we made the stall. We put up a stall and it did really well. Then I was like, oh man, I don't want to set up an online store. I just don't want to do it. But then I did. That was when I started product. So I'm fast forwarding a little bit because a lot of things happen. It's not like, oh, set up an online store and wow, and here I am today.
Correct.
It's a lot of like, you know,
correct.
But in short, after a few years, I couldn't handle freelancing, which is a great thing because I had a lot of work coming in, but also being able to run the store, I just couldn't do it. And then I happened to meet Saurabh, who is my partner who handles the logistics now and handles my online
store.
Happy
Wagon?
So the head company is called Future Wagon. Happy Wagon is the, So Sora basically handles my online store now. But like in the beginning, I was the person, of course, who wrapped up the stuff and posted it and stuff like that. But so now, after what, like a decade, I
After
had
a
someone
decade.
who now handles. Yeah, but a lot of things also, I believe a lot of things happen by chance, of course, and meeting him was definitely one of them. That also is a great story in itself. But yeah, so now I run the online store, but I still primarily am a freelancer. I never wanted to give that up because I think that's what keeps me on my toes, honestly.
I get
Besides, of
that.
course, I make
I get that.
a good, honestly, good living with freelancing. But it really does keep me on my toes, and I love it. And I pick the jobs. I'm lucky enough to be able to say
Able
I
to
don't
cook.
need
Yeah,
to do
yeah,
that job.
yeah.
Yeah, so I get to do that. So I don't do design work. Like in the beginning, I'd be like, okay, I'll do a logo. You know, even though I literally hate, and now I'm like, I don't do design work at all. I don't do very specific type of illustration. I don't take more than one illustrated book a year because I know I'm amazed by how many books you're doing. I cannot
See,
manage.
because
Like I'm just like
I
I
am
cannot.
doing that because, I am at the stage where you were at, let's say, in 2013, 14, 15, that side, right? So,
No, but I never wanted to do books in the first place. I think
right,
I
no,
love
but
books, but I just can't do it. Yeah.
in terms of the work, see, the idea is you were trying to set up the brand, which is Alicia Souza, and you want to kind of set up, you're
Oh.
playing the long game there. So for me right now, the plan is to, do as many books as possible. So, one is
That's
I'm enjoying
amazing.
it. Yeah, so one is I'm enjoying it. So, I can't
Okay,
complain
that's
about that.
all,
That's
mostly.
correct. So that's working out. It's money is not the first thing here because let's face it, Indian
Books
publishers
are
don't
hard.
really, yeah, books
Yeah,
are hard, they
yeah,
don't
yeah.
do
It's
US
very
stuff.
hard. It's very hard. Yeah.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
so thankfully I have a job over there. And the idea
Yeah.
is that, yeah, so by the time the next 3 4 years, hopefully, I would be able to establish myself more as a children's book illustrator
Yes.
and
Right, right,
then
right.
be able to kind of be a little more picky and choosy around the kind of books that I want to do.
Okay, okay.
That's one. And also, I'm waiting, or I'm kind of right now, of course, I'm working on a really good subject that I like. But yeah, I'm also
Ooh.
trying to figure out, or try and get a kind of a book which really makes an impact, if you know what I mean. Like,
Okay.
it really
Okay.
changes something. So that's something which I'm really looking forward to. So
Okay.
that's why. But yeah, I think that's why I'm doing these multiple things and overworking
Okay.
myself. And that's
Oh no,
why.
don't do that.
And that's why the doctor says lifestyle issues. But
Oh
that's
no.
the thing it is, yeah.
Oh man, by the way, we'll talk about that in a bit. I'm very concerned and I cannot figure out how that happened. Like that sounds, you're very young
I
to
know,
have
man. It's also genetics. Bengali genes are not the strongest of genes, to be honest. So
as Goan is quite not great as well, by
yeah. So
the
see, we kind of
way.
match up
Yeah,
in
yeah, yeah.
those ways,
Yes,
I would
yes.
say. But yeah. So but yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. But yeah.
Yes,
So
okay.
2013, 14. I think that's when you started posting on Facebook, like you said, and then I think it rolled over to
Yes.
Instagram. I think that's also the
Yes.
time when I started following you because it was I just started off my job, maybe a few half a year old in my job, and I remember, that was the time when I used to kind of hate the thing that I used to do, like hate the job. And I used to kind of go
Okay.
to your illustration, like, hey, that's so cool, that's so cute. My God, this lady's doing it for a
Oh.
living. So, and I'm sure a lot of people listening will have similar stories to share. But I'm so glad that you're right. It's been absolutely a decade since you started off with that
Yeah.
journey, and today we are here.
Yes.
I have to say this, that the fact that you stuck onto that journey for these 10 years and you hustled. I hate that word hustle, but I still use it.
I know
Yeah,
it's.
but that actually inspired, and I have spoken to so many other illustrator friends of mine, Alicia, and that's one of the common themes a lot of us carry, at least the ones who are in a similar space today, that a lot of it is because of you, because
That's so
you kind
sweet.
of were the, at least for me, I can say, and I know a bunch of other friends of mine, that when we started off, when we were in our day jobs and non-artsy stuff, looking at your work kind of gave us a some sort of a hope that, oh, this is possible.
Oh my
Because
God, that's so
before that
sweet.
for me, because for, before that for me also, I've shared the story many times in this podcast now, but you know, when I was in school and I was at that juncture where you have to decide, okay, which career do I choose?
Yes.
That
Yes.
I don't even know how can they allow kids to choose which career they want to go for. Like they don't even know what they
Very
want to be.
hard. I
Yeah,
know.
but
I
then I
know.
wanted to be an artist because I did not know illustrators existed or there was something called
Right. Yeah,
illustration.
of course.
Yeah,
Yes, of course.
but the
Yeah.
point was, you know, when my parents asked me that, okay, what next after, let's say you go to an
Right.
art school, what next after that? I did
Yes,
not have
yes.
any idea, and hence, you know, a lot of things happened. But then
Yes, of
when
course.
I saw you doing that, it gave me hope much later in life that, okay, this is possible. And I think a lot of it started off because of you. Like, today,
Very
wherever I
kind,
am, the fact
honestly.
that, you know, I could get I would say, the guts, the balls to really follow something which I really wanted to do as a child, I think it's a lot because of you. And the fact that, you know, coming to the style part as well, we haven't touched about, we've spoken about your style today, but that's okay.
Yes.
I'm sure there are multiple conversations you've had on the art part of it. I just wanted to know the backstory. But from the style perspective as well, you know, when it came to illustration, for me,
Right.
I always thought art has to be serious. Okay, if you know what I
Yeah.
mean, right? It
I
can't be
do.
whimsical. I think it's just Disney stuff because again, my exposure was very limited, right? But
Yes.
again, like looking at your work, the whole silliness aspect of it, it just you know, again, it gave me that idea that okay, that's also possible. You know, I can draw things a certain way. I can draw, you know, especially your the limbs that you sometimes draw, like pipe limbs, I call like to call them, right?
Yes,
So
yes.
the boneless pipe limbs, right? So
I know that. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
and so for
The
me
boneless
that was, yeah, exactly. And for me that was like, you know, okay, that's acceptable. It's okay to do
Yes.
that. So for me, I think you have played a humongous role when it comes to, you know, my development as an illustrator over the last 5, 6, 7, whatever years. But yeah, you get
Very
a
kind.
huge,
Thank you.
huge amount of credit for that.
Thank
Anyway.
you so much.
Yeah, and I'm so
Really.
happy I get this chance to tell you this today. But anyway, so cool. So, you know, a couple of other things I want to really know from you. So, first of all, thank you so much for sharing the story. I had zero clue about all of this part. A couple of things. So tell me this from you know, of course you started illustrating and you know, you started doing freelance projects and all of those things happened. Tell me from a, because I see you as a very sorted person. You know, you like the sense of security and you know, you do your savings, you
Yes.
save up for the rainy day. So it tells me you're a very,
Yes.
maybe a planned person. I'm guessing, like I'm gonna use
Very
an example
much.
here, a planned person, right?
Yes,
So
very much. Yeah.
how did you go about planning the brand that is Alicia Souza, because today it is a huge brand and it's a part of you. Like, you know, it's,
Right. Yeah.
I don't know you as much, but I believe it's a huge, huge, huge part of you. Like it's synonymous to you, the person. So how did you
Yeah.
go around
Yeah.
building the brand?
Honestly, I feel like I it that is one thing that wasn't planned, to be honest. A lot of it just came about. Like, we started it, like, I remember when we even started the when we set up Santé, the Santé stall, we had to make products immediately, and I couldn't even think of a name of what I could name this brand, because I wanted to do products, but I didn't want to name it after myself. But there was not enough time to come up with one, so I put my name. And after that, everyone used to be like, I want the I remember very specifically being asked, I want this as an Alicia Souza mug. And me reading that was, this is odd to read. So I almost started disassociating with my name. And like, if someone says Alicia Souza, I don't think of it as me. I think of it as my
A
brand.
third
But if
person.
someone says Alicia, yeah, then it's me. But like, the whole name together is a completely different
Okay, that makes
it's
sense.
not me. Yeah. So it's so weird. Because like, so when I see my name, everyone, it's too weird. I don't think it can sit right if I see my name and be like, oh, my name in shining light. It's not that. It's like, it's that's the brand. I'm just Alicia. That's a completely different thing. So I forgot the question.
So the
So
whole
yeah, no,
brand
it's
building part, yeah.
unplanned. So a lot of it is also, again, like I said, there's a lot of things you can't plan for. Like, I couldn't make products which are not beyond my reach. I could only make things that I could make next door at the print shop, Printo for that matter.
Oh, you also went to
Printo,
Printo.
Print Express. I should go to Print Express because it was closer
Print
to home.
Express, yeah. Oh, okay.
So yes, so Print Express. Then I went to a guy who used to work at Print Express, who started his own print shop. Then from there, then after I met Saurabh, we started making more. And I got help with, like, the reason I started also definitely throwing in that I have, like, my ex-boyfriend who, like, was at the time. He actually did help me with a bunch of the manufacturing as well, because he, so a lot of things also became a problem because I couldn't speak the language. It was a big problem.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And also, I don't speak local languages at all. So he used to help me out with that. So definitely a lot of gratitude for him
do you
for that
speak
bit.
Hindi? Do you speak Hindi?
I only speak P language.
Oh, you
If
speak P
no one
language,
knows
is it?
Speak P language extremely well. In fact,
What?
I also think if I had to say a secret, because my sister and I, my whole, like my sibling, we don't speak any language but English, which is very embarrassing. But it's extremely embarrassing if you're living in India and you don't speak another language. It's almost like you committitted a crime for, and I tried, and I genuinely tried.
I know
I'll
you
get
tried
into that
learning.
Again.
I remember that whole journey where you're trying to learn Kannada. Yeah.
Tried so many things in life. Anyway, so when my sister and I used to speak in, like, say, public, or like when my parents are around, we used to speak P language. So now whenever I think of a secret, I think of it in P language. Even if I tell John, I'm trying telling John something secretive, it comes out in P language first, and then it comes out in English. It's so weird.
So in P language, George would be Jopodge, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
Jopodge. Yeah, Jopodge. Yeah. 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 So,
wow.
I'm very fluent in P language. It's very weird. But
wow, that's
I'm
cool.
Considering teaching Ollie, also not teaching Ollie. I'm not sure which one I should do, but I might
but,
teach
but,
him.
But, you know, I think he'll learn. He'll learn himself, because I got to
Did
know
you?
about P language.
None.
You know, I got to know about P language when I came to Bangalore. Like, you know, a couple of my friends, they were doing appa dappa. I'm like, what are you saying? So then they.
But do you so can you understand when someone speaks?
I can. I used to be more fluent, you know, back in 2014-15. But now I don't have anybody else to talk in P language with. So sometimes get a little confused. But I can understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you understand? Okay, so George didn't even know it existed. He thought I was making it up. And until I spoke to my sister.
Dippin'. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wow.
And it's very hard to explain how to
Yeah, I think you get
speak it.
It. Yeah, so I was teaching somebody else. You know, I thought initially it was you before a vowel, you replace a vowel with
it's before and after.
Before
and after a vowel. Yeah, but it's
but
very weird to say that, because it sounds too, like, as an adult, you can't, and this is with languages as well. You try to rationalize language in your head, and you're not meant to.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's just,
oh, yeah.
So it becomes very hard as an adult to learn. And George thought I was lying. And then, so now he knows it's a thing. It's
upper
a thing.
Lipi,
so I'm surprised you learn. Upper lipi shapa. Oh,
Supuzapa. Yeah, right. Wow.
So again, I'm not even saying, but that's okay. Good. I've never heard anyone learning it as an adult, to be honest, like P language.
Okay. So, but you're right. It helps quite a bit. But, you know, there has been situation. I was in a BMTC bus a couple of years ago before COVID. Okay. And I had to tell somebody else, like, I was traveling with somebody and I had to tell her, you know, something about a fellow passenger who was in front, you know. And I used the P language and realized the person opposite also knew P language.
New, of course. You cannot do this in India.
A lot of people
India.
Know P language. And so, yeah.
Everyone knows. So,
I use Bengali.
Even, yeah, so,
I use Bengali, but you know, Bangalore has so many Bengalis that even is caught sometimes. So I just stay shut. I text people now who are sitting next to me.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yes, that sounds good. I was telling John we should learn a separate, different language from across the world, something. And of course, he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. But yeah, anyway.
Okay. All right. So yeah, so coming back to the brand. So what else? So you met, you interacted with Happy Wagon and that happened. Anything
yeah,
else
Happy Wagon didn't exist
out.
At that time. It was literally Saurabh and me. Okay. And it was a different company altogether.
Were you the first customer of or first associate of Happy Wagon in that case? Like Happy Wagon started because of you?
Yes. It was literally Saurabh as an individual and I as an individual. I had a company. Mm. It was Alicia Souza Private Limited, I think. I can't even remember. And he...
But you don't have it anymore?
No, so, oh my God, this is like a full big other thing. So, he had his own company where he was manufacturing products.
Mm-hmm.
And then we met, then we started manufacturing products. And then we started Alicia Souza Private Limited.
Mm-hmm.
And we started manufacturing from there. But then we didn't want to use my name. It didn't make sense to use my name as the head company because there were going to be multiple other things as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, we closed that and started another one, which was private semesters, and then I started my own thing of, it's this whole thing, but then Future Wagon Private Limited started.
You were a conglomerate. And Future Wagon, you're like a Tata, yeah, Reliance, or you're a conglomerate.
So I don't deal with anything beyond my brand because at this point, because then from so Future Wagon is the head company. The Happy Wagon is almost like an online boutique store that sells artist products, including mine. And it was, of course, mine also, like as in my products are there. And Future Wagon also runs my brand, which is Alicia Souza. And it runs a few other things as well. Few other wagons as well. So there's like,
wow.
Yes.
But yeah, you are at that level. Of course, you need that. Like, you are super professional.
I feel like also a lot of things are, and it's really, this is the difficult part, which is you let go. Like something like, say, the online store, if I had to run it the way I want to run it, it would be not only much smaller, it would not, I would not physically be able to run, do also
the
freelancing
scaling
jobs.
Part of it. The
so,
scaling
yeah,
part of it.
Including products. Like if I had to run and analyze everything that I put out, there were like a billion things I want to make changes to, but I cannot. Like I a lot of it is just letting go and knowing that it's okay as it is, which is very sad. So there is a barter you make with being able to do quantity with, I'm not going to say the word quality because we definitely stand for quality and we want it. But if I have to, so something like say the planner, I have to launch it every year.
Right.
By the time I finish the planner, I'm already working on another planner. It's ridiculous. Like it's just, it's a lot. And when I'm doing that, by the time the planner, like when the sample comes out, if I want to make it, like if I want to make any more changes, I finish, my timeline is too late. There's no way that you can make the perfect piece and bring it out and still be in time, and unless you're literally only working on that. And that also is something that I don't do. I still do my freelancing and still have, you know, like, so you make, these are the barters I think people don't understand that are there, and you have to acknowledge that they are. If you don't have to, but I want to. It's a personal choice. I want to be able to run a store, but I also definitely want to run freelancing, and I also definitely want to have some sort of social life. So yeah, it's mostly pick and choose, I guess.
Again, you may choose not to answer this question, but isn't it
tiring? So you know what? It was all very easy and in line till I had a child. That's when things changed a lot. And it's not because, you know, I spend 20 hours a day with my child. I don't. And I sadly don't get to spend as much time as I would love to. But because mentally also, there's a lot of things you have to make space for. Like he's always going to be on top of the list. So with him comes the organizing of things around him. For example, his something like clothing. Like, I mean, it's so silly, but understanding, like suddenly this morning, instead of being able to work on a drawing, I had to figure out what pants I can get him because he's getting mosquito bites. You know, like those kind of things take up. It's such a silly thing, but like there's so many things. Like understanding that his shoes suddenly are not fitting. Do I expand them? And does he have, like, those kind of things take up. So it's so small and interesting, but they take so much time in a day. And every day, there's something. And because of him, there are, of course, other people. Because he has to go to school. There are people, like, I can't take him to school, which I would have loved to. I have a nanny, and, like, she would take him. So there's another person I have to take care of course. Because she's now part of my family.
Correct.
And, like, that part takes so much time. And that's where you reduce your time in a day. But I still am very conscious of putting out as much work as I used to, pre-child, if not more, which is ridiculous. And that's where the pressure sets in. And I didn't feel pressure before he was born, but now I actually do. And with that, there's a changing momentum on social media. And I can't shit on it because it's not my platform. It's not like I didn't start it. They can do what the hell they want.
Right.
It's free. So then there's this thing for videos. So now I'm like, oh, I have to also learn to record while I draw. Or have that at the back of my mind that if I'm putting something out, is there another way I can? And do I want to? So there are many times I'm like, I don't want to make this a video, you know? So, and that's also, again, a conscious decision, even if it loses out on, say, analytics or whatever. So those things that take a bigger toll, I think.
So you're still managing your Instagram, your social media on your own?
I'm the only one who handles. And but there's also things I don't do. Like I don't get to reply to comments. I don't get to reply to messages because then I'll just be doing that all day. So I don't.
And possibly at your level, I think it's impossible also because the sheer amount, the quantity of comments that comes in.
Yeah, Yes, it is. Because also what happens is replying to stories is a thing I don't want to remove. But there's no way I can check like so many comments. Like this, I mean, or replies to stories. And they all mix up, right? Like I can't distinguish a message that comes in for an inquiry versus a message that comes in for, you know, just being a heart for a story. Yeah, and it's absolutely lovely. But I think people are aware that I just won't be able to. At the back of my mind, I feel bad, but I can't do anything. See, that's another thing.
That's because of the person you are. That's because of the kind of person you are, you're feeling bad. Like,
you would feel, right? Because they're all genuinely nice and like really sweet. Or even if it's not sweet, I feel like it might be a comment, which maybe I have to pay heed to, but I can't. Read them. Yeah.
How does it seem to be? Okay, I have to ask you this question. Okay. How does it seem to be Alisa Souza? What, like, tell me this. A day in the life of Alisa Souza.
You want to know my schedule? What it feels.
What it feels like to be. Like, I'm sure you're walking down the street and you get like, people come.
But I don't walk down the street. I'm like literally at home the whole day except on weekends. Like, I don't have... I'm literally at home the whole day from morning to evening. And I live in one of those complexes, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a small one. Very sweet. Everyone's adorable. I'm literally upstairs. And I go... In fact, you say workout, if I have to run, I run all the time and there's no one down. When I say run, I literally mean jog. Okay. And it's like fast walk. Let me rephrase. Fast walk is what I do. And if I exercise, say, it's upstairs in the living room. So I literally don't get out of my four walls. I went to a gym all of 2 weeks for 2 days. It was just, yeah.
Okay. So you go to an airport and people are like, oh, Alisa, how does that feel? Like, so yesterday I know you came back from Mumbai. How many people recognized you in the flight?
On the flight, no one. It was
Were you wearing a mask or something?
No, I was not. It doesn't happen as often, but it does happen though, mind you. It does happen. I can't say it doesn't. It happens often enough. Like, if I go out, there's a chance it's going to happen. And it's what it feels like is like the sweetest thing. It's like you literally won the lottery and, you know, you feel like it's every time it's like, you did something, you got something for which you didn't do anything for, you know. Okay. It's not like I didn't do anything for, but,
I have another question. So imagine you have gone and, you know, first of all, do you look forward to those interactions?
I get shy. I still get shy.
I know that. Again, a lot of Bangaloreans would know this listening to this. You know, everybody, and I told Alisa this before the recording, a lot of Bangaloreans in this city have stories of spotting Alisa Souza like on the street sometime and, you know, she got shy and everything. But tell me this, and this is again a question. It's okay if you don't want to answer. You, let's say, step out and, you know, you're at the airport, Bangalore airport, you get off and you go through security thing, right? And nobody spots you, nobody recognizes you.
Yeah.
Does it feel weird? Like, kya ho gaya aaj? Like, what happened today?
What? No, of course not. I did not think I... the default is nothing. And anything more, it's like I said, see, when you, since I'm using the word lottery, I guess I can cut it. When you apply for a lottery, you don't expect to win. So if you do win, it's like, what the hell? It's like amazing. So that's what it's like. I just feel like nothing's gonna happen. It's a normal day out. I'm a normal person. Like,
I don't see you. Apai dupon sipi yupu. Apaz. Okay.
You speak really. But that's really good. I'm very impressed that you learned this in an adult. It is not easy. I would think. Like, I couldn't imagine someone learning.
Tumba dhanyavaad garu. I'm trying to learn Kannada. So yeah, what happened?
You're
learning now. I got inspired and I also started learning. I picked up a few words.
I will explain this language thing. Will take me another year to explain. But in short, it died a very slow death. It's very sad. It is very sad, and I have a reason for it.
And everything where
you don't like. Stuff. Okay, so I'm a very good learner. As in, like, I would. If I'm committed to something, I will stick through it. But there has to be, it has to be sustainable in the long, and that learning process was not, for multiple reasons, from the fact also that I work from home and I don't meet anyone who speaks.
You don't meet, that's
and everyone's like, oh, you can speak with, your nanny or whatever. But like, I'm like, what do I speak? I'm working. I don't have, you have to have regular interactions for you to learn. And I don't have regular interactions. And I don't have time to have regular interactions. And that time I didn't even have anyone at home. It was just me. So Yeah, so it's just, it was not sustainable in that way.
That makes sense because
also,
you know,
yeah, that's the biggest way you learn is from interactions.
Yeah,
I don't
and
have that.
When I started learning Kannada, you know, before COVID, my growth was quite high. But then COVID happened and then, you know, I was stuck at home. I kind of forgot a lot of things. My graph came down. And now that I'm going to office again, I'm meeting people. So, you know, I am speaking with people and I do make that effort. But yeah,
well
makes
done,
sense.
Though. Very good.
Yeah,
huh.
I'm saying I like languages. So that's, I think that works out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do
That's
speak
great.
A little bit of Goan Konkani as well, but just a
Oh,
couple of
really? Huh.
just your basic Deoborem, Korum and all of those things. Just the basic
By the
stuff.
way, I know more Tamil than Konkani at this point. That's how
Oh.
little Konkani I know. Because I literally don't, it's like I would hear as much Konkani as Bengali. Where do I hear? No one
Exactly.
speaks it around me. My
That's
parents
true.
don't speak it to us, so we just don't know it at all.
Makes
I mean,
sense.
I
Makes
never
sense.
hear it. Yeah,
Makes sense.
yeah.
Makes sense. And yeah, it's all about the exposure. Okay, a couple of
Yeah.
quick random questions and then we'll go towards the closure. You know, I've taken a lot of your time and I'm now feeling a little impatient and all that.
No,
Knowing that you have a big plan. Okay, so first thing, favorite artist?
I always go back and
Apart from
say
Bill. Apart from Bill. Apart from Bill.
Bill is my favorite human. He's like,
Okay.
besides illustrator. I always end up saying Quentin Blake, even though and the reason I say it is because he's the one who I remember. So in okay, I'll throw in a story, but like we had one library in Abu Dhabi called Cultural Foundation Library, but it was far. We never went. Like I literally went once a year. It was very, very thing. And in school, it was this room which we were not allowed to go to. It was, and that's another story. Anyway, don't even ask. Anyway, so in short, so when I went to Melbourne, I was obsessed. Like when I say obsessed, I was obsessed with there was a city library. And I used to go there all the time, all the time. I'd come back and there was a children's book section. And
Wow.
I'd go berserk. Like I think it changed, but that was also another factor which made me want to be an illustrator, even though not a children's book illustrator, because I felt like it was so, so beyond my goal. Even now when I think of it, I'm like, there's too much that has to go in a book and I don't have that kind of space. So when I do a book, I do one book a year because I can only give it, say, a month at the most. In that month also, I'll be doing other things on the side.
Right.
So it has to be small enough. So I only do board books. So a lot of things are cut. And for a book, like, and anyway, so coming back to when I saw Quentin Blake's illustration, and he's the one who did Matilda, and he did BFG, and he did Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with Roald Dahl, and his lines were so casually, they look so effortless, but so, they were with effort. It was just like, it was too beautiful. I loved it. So I remember I used to go through all his drawings, and I don't know why I'm always smitten. Even though, again, like I have a few books and I don't really go through them a lot, it's the one I always remember. If I remember what really like opened my eyes and I was like, oh my God, these are strokes, but so mindful, but not. But they look like scribbles. It's like that is art. Like, you know, it called to me. Yeah.
You go to bookstores anymore? Because, you know, I wish Bangalore had more of these, you know, bookstores. We are fortunate enough to actually have a few. So I know you went to Blossoms and you used to go to Blossoms. I think I went to Blossoms and, you know, two places in 2018 I visited and I was like, I want to move to this city. One was Blossoms, the other was Cobham Park. So I saw these two places and I was like, shit, I'm moving here. But Blossoms
is a different part of the world for me. Very far for me.
Yeah, it's more than your 45 minutes timeline.
Definitely 45 minutes.
Have you been to these places? I think Lightroom is a good store.
Lightroom?
Great books. Champaka is another one. These two would be on the top of my list. Very close to my office is in Ranagar. They have opened the new Atta Galata. They have, again, a pretty recent...
They opened, is it? Okay, I didn't know that.
So they moved from Koramangala and they opened there.
Koramangala.
Decent collection, I would say. But yeah, I feel Lightroom has, according to me, the best. Blossoms also, but Lightroom is more curated that way. Okay. Favorite places to eat in the city, apart from Brick Oven?
Oh, okay.
And Lavon.
So
Brick Oven and Lavon.
Lavon is my coffee shop. It's not I do eat there, but it's more if I'm meeting someone, I can stay for 100 years and they're like amazing. I love them. Also, that I know the owners is plus point. You know what I mean?
Right?
They're like good friends. Yes, they're good
friends.
I
know. I've
Juni and husband, Vinesh. favorite place to eat is a forbidden fruit. It is my soft corner. I adore Asian food if it's not so obvious from my story. I love it. So that's my, definitely one of my favorites.
Have you been to Thai Basil?
I have the one on
100 feet,
feet. No, did it change? But they changed, right?
No, there's one on 100 feet road, there's one on Kormagla.
Sorry. Yes, I have been to the one in
100 feet
No, I went to the Kormagla
one. Hey, that's my favorite. I keep going there. Like, you know, the number of times
I can't say it's my favorite. It's nice. I think we got unlucky with the dishes. Oh, is it? Okay, so I didn't have Tom Yum.
Tom Yum is out of the world. Tom Yum is highly, highly recommended.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay. What else do I want to ask you? I think I pretty much asked you a bunch of things that I wanted to. Okay. What is the next big project you're looking forward to?
Okay. I'm working on the planner now, of course. I've been planning to do my website for like 100 years, and I thought I would work on it, but then so many projects came up in the middle, and it's back to being on the back burner, which is the saddest thing. And there are all these small. Yeah, I mean, so every time I think that everything's going to take a break, and like I won't be like, so okay, so this is my order of priority. It's always client projects first. My brand is second, which is the saddest thing.
Okay,
but now what's happening is because you're getting a lot more work done with the brand, it's coming up to par because a lot more questions are coming. Like, I need this, especially during planner time when we're working on it. Mm-hmm. We have to deliver by a certain time. So that's becoming like really, really difficult. And as soon as, like, I only take up big projects now with clients. So because it's just, there's no time for small projects.
Define
big is usually commercially big. I don't take small projects. Yeah, so it has to be viable in terms of so when I so the problem is if it is decently big, it also takes up decent time, which is very, so I just got 2 inquiries in, which is a big problem because I also don't say no because they're big projects. So it's, this is a big part where I'm like, I don't know how I'm gonna manage my time. So then everything personal projects go on the back burner always, which is the saddest thing because that's the part which I enjoy, not the most, but I feel like you also need it to grow as an illustrator. Yes. I feel like that's part which I just don't get. That's the thing. If I had to say, I really sacrifice now as an illustrator is I don't get to do personal work. I don't get to do personal growth stuff. Personal growth, I mean an illustrator, not like personally as a person. Because even in the evenings, when I was telling you about how there's no time, because I spend time at Ollie, there's no time. Not there's no time for me, but in evenings used to be my time where I'd be like, oh, let me play with the color pencil I just bought. Now there's no time to play with the color. So I got some products, I mean some tools which I'd love to play around with, and I just don't have time. And it's been what, a year where I'll be like, I have a pace of it is weirdly it's so time has moved so fast. And so many things have come up that I'm amazed by how much time passes by. It's like a different, I feel like I'm on a different treadmill now.
When
than
was the
I was
last
before.
Time you took a break?
I don't take breaks. I genuinely do not. But it has to be a forced break. Like my sister coming into town, I could not work during that time. So that, but I can't even, that I'd say is a break, but it's not a break because I don't want to say the word chill because there's no chill, but I don't like, but even if I go on, I think maybe Malaysia was my break. I can say that. Even
so
though
when you take
like,
vacation, you're like forcibly have to switch it off.
But also like, yes, but I also don't take vacations on a whim. I don't be like, let's go. I want to relax. I don't think I've ever actually done that though. But like Malaysia was, there was a reason for the trip. But besides that, it was also, my George said we have to do this trip because you really need to whatever. But when we went there, it was amazing. It was possibly one of my favorite trips in the world. I also didn't get to sleep in because we had to get up early in the morning because we wanted to try something out. So I don't remember the last time I slept in.
I think you are.
I am a very early riser. Yes, because I have to work Charlie. It's not so early. It used to be 5. Now it's 5:30. So 5:30.
And does it mean you go to sleep early as well? Like how does your timing look like?
No, so now it's 10, which I wish I could be earlier. Yeah,
you're one of those people.
Yeah, and very much
So what, like you have dinner around 7:30-ish?
I'm a very early eater, yes.
Don't you feel hungry
I do
later?
eat. You know, I don't have an appetite for night. I have an appetite for day. Like, as soon as I get up, I like shove things in my mouth. So
That's
when people
because
say they
you've
skip
eaten so
breakfast,
early, no? That's because your dinner
yeah,
is at 7 o'clock.
that is true. But also generally, I've always had a morning appetite. But you know what? I was reading about this where it's glorified when people get up early. But I've never been able to be a night. I could never work in the night. I could never. I've
Okay.
always been an early rise. I'd rather get up at 4 than think of sleeping at 1. So
Yeah.
I eat, but like socially, that's like a very, and
Yeah, that doesn't work out,
I was
yeah.
reading that. Yeah, I read an article about it. I'm like, that's an unfair, because I used to be like, George, you really need to sleep in early and get up early. This is ridiculous what
So
you're doing. But
he
that's not
sleeps
fair,
too late, is
because
it?
no, now he's adapting to my lifestyle. He
Wow.
comes to, but not as much as me, for sure. Definitely not much me. He's also not a great sleeper. I'm a great sleeper, but he's definitely adapting, because he used to sleep very late before, and I'd never stay up with him. There's just no way I would do that, or physically be able to do that. So yeah.
You, since we're talking about George, and of course George, the George, do you, first of all, please tell him I love his beard. His beard is
Oh.
it's such an inspiration as well. But coming back, like you know, do you have any sort of a, because I love his sense of aesthetics as well, which he does in his, you know, the project that he does as well, right? I follow him on that. Do you by any chance inspire or affect his sense of aesthetics? They don't go together as well. That's why I'm asking.
Absolutely not. Like, we are spectrums apart. And okay, I will give you the perfect example of when I was living without him. I remember I was very proud of the house I was living in, and it was very, if I have to put it in an aesthetic, people will understand, it's very Goan-y. Porcelain figures and
Yeah.
maybe crochet on the chair. It's okay, and it was a furnished house like that, and I loved it. It felt like home. It was like the house that I grew up in, and they were like a floral wall, and you know, it felt very homey.
Right.
And I remember George coming in, and he didn't even say what a lovely house, and I was like, this guy. Then I went to his house. I remember going to his house. I met him when he was building, like doing up his apartment. And I remember going there, and I'm like, oh, this is really nice. And it was completely different too, but of course aesthetically you can appreciate it, but it was not like, I'm more wooden, like a wooden cottage type, and he's definitely more contemporary open spaces type.
Right.
Like, and they're
I have
spectrums apart,
noticed that,
because
yeah.
I like cozy small, he likes open vast. But I can't not appreciate it. But because he's the architect in the house, like he's always had the right of way for designing everything. He never took my opinion. I got no say, like in
He
nothing,
did such
which
a
makes
great
sense,
job.
because
I've seen the
he
photos
did.
of your new
So
house. The plants and
yeah,
all, they just work so well together.
he does. He's really good at his.
Wow.
Yeah, he's really good. But so my aesthetic also started changing because of that. So in a space, I don't pick out, like, even I'm very conscious. Obviously, I won't pick out, say, extremely colorful pillows for our house. It's just not going to work. So if there's something that I really like, sometimes I get it, and we can't put it in that, like, I won't be able to put it in the living room. I can put it in my space here where I work, but even then I feel like I don't as much, like, I plan it according to how it would work. And this
So
is
George
possibly
would
the
never
most,
pick up something from Chumbak, na?
Oh God, no,
Yeah,
definitely
I
not.
yeah, yeah,
But
it makes
yeah,
sense.
like things like, so before him, my fridge was jam-packed with things to
That's my
visually
fridge.
see,
That's my fridge, yeah.
and his is not. His is empty. So now we are in the middle where there are a few things placed because of me, but I can't also visually put 1,000 things on the fridge without feeling like it's standing out of place. So I think we're in this, I'm at this middle ground. He still would, like, if he set up a house, I think he'd put 2 things. With me, there would be like 5 things, you know?
Okay,
So we have like a
not
good middle
that bad.
ground. But
Two
yeah,
and five is not bad.
but a lot of things would have been different if it was me designing, you know, like
Yourself.
but he also would not stay in my house, I guess. He would not.
So for the listeners, I know you can't see, but you know, in the background, I can see you have been seeing this really nice white wall and you know, this beautiful table. I love the table top, Alisa.
The table is George. George designed that table.
I can see that. I can see it's George. Yeah. The chair also goes so well, and there's a black frame. I don't know. It's a painting, I think, which you have framed.
Yeah, okay. That is my stuff, okay? That's my.
I know, but that is George. So till there is George.
Yes, and then
true. Yeah. And then I see. So
if I can push my table,
canvas,
you can see it is all.
Yeah. That side is George. That side is more George. But
no, actually, those are mine. But he told me I can do it like that.
Yeah. See, there you go. But then you come in with your cutesy stuff on that white wall around it. I can see a cow. I can see something. Yeah. Nice. I can see an auto over there. So yeah, that's where I think you are trying to squeeze in a little bit.
Like, yes. But this is also my workspace. Yes. Yes. But this is my workspace, so I get to do that. Like, I know I wouldn't. Yeah, but so I think that's why the house works really well, because now they're like these quirky things around the house. I always tell George I made you less boring.
Oh.
It's fine. he's very stoic at home, but he's very sometimes outgoing in parties. He's like,
oh
yeah, he's actually quite so it depends on his social situation.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah.
Lovely, lovely. So, Arisa, this has been an amazing conversation. I have taken
so
a lot of your time today, but I'm so happy we got to do it. I will end up with the last question, which I've asked, I think, pretty much everybody who came into this podcast.
Okay.
Why do you do this? So, you know, this whole illustration, art, all of these things. Why do you do it?
So, two sides to it. One is, why do illustration as a career, or why do I draw?
Why do you draw?
That's me. It's literally why I don't want to say why I live, but it's definitely a reason up there for sure. Like, I always told George as well, if I lost my right hand, I genuinely, if it wasn't for my child, I don't see.
I feel you. That's the same thing which I have also said, that you know, my right hand, like sometimes I just look at it and I'm like, man, what would I do without you?
It's very scary. It's very scary to think that I'm dependent on one. I think it's also it's just being, I think the need to express is so strong, and I've used drawing as my medium. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine life without it, because I've done it for so long. If it was someone like, say, you know, someone who can speak, or talking is their, you know, medium of expression, then it's different. Or if it's poetry, because you can write that, you know, type it out, and, you know, or even speak. Even if you have poetry, you can speak it, and it can
be.
But visually, you have to use your... Anyway, so I think the act of drawing also is so therapeutic it just becomes part of you, intrinsically. Yeah.
What are you? I'm just going to throw in one extra question, because you mentioned that. What are you afraid of? Is there something that you're afraid of?
Wow, so many. Okay, so many things. One is, and this is very, I think this comes from current times, being misunderstood. So say something. Some people get misunderstood in what they say and misconstrued. That can blow up, say, especially online, because a lot of my life is online. It can change who you genuinely are as a person. That is something that I genuinely get scared of, which is why I feel like I get extra safe in
I get it.
So that is one thing that I genuinely would get. I can say I'm scared of that, actually. I'm very wary of it.
So does that mean, as an artist, probably you sometimes, because I do that, okay, I do that quite a bit. Sometimes you rein yourself in as an artist, because you
100%.
I get that.
100%. So a lot of things, I'll tell you one thing that I stopped doing, and I feel like the way I think also changed, which is in a way sad, but I feel like everything's a barter. I'm very logical about it, if this is the way. I used to make a lot of crude jokes when I was younger. And when I say crude, I mean like, it'll either be naughty or will be poopy or will be, like, you know, crude in every sense of the way. That got that got canceled out pretty quick when I started posting online. And it's not that I stopped I stopped mentally thinking of those things because I didn't have time to execute them. So I stopped thinking of jokes like that only. So now if you tell me to make like a thing, I can't. But before it used to only be those. And it would be so funny because I remember my friends would be like, oh, that was hilarious. And now when I look back on some things, I actually laugh. But I cannot do that anymore. Nor can I post it anywhere. It's not acceptable socially. But that's fine. I just think that I just turn into a different type of... You pick the roads.
You pick your entrance. And barter, like you mentioned, the barter part. I think the word, it's a really great word to use here. And, you know, since you mentioned Poopy, I think one of your favorite stickers that I have from your collection is the poop sticker that you do. And I have seen that poop sticker in so many different forms. Okay, so, you know, with that, I think we'll go towards the closure. Alicia, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
The last, and also for the listeners, I'm not sure if you guys caught that, but this is going to be the last episode of season two, only and only because my office has reopened. I have a bunch of books to do. So, yeah, like Alicia said, so I am sorry, but, you know, the podcast has to kind of pause. I'm not saying end. Once, you know, I have a little more time, get to free up some more time, I'd be able to do this. Maybe I'll call Alicia again. Who knows? Now that she replies to my emails, but
I always reply to emails. Emails I always reply to. Did I ever not reply to an email?
No. So you did. That's what I'm saying. Now
I always reply.
Email ID. So that works out now. So that's for me. But thank you so much for listening, everybody. And Alicia, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
End on this note. Something a lot of people had asked for. Thank you so much for your time and keep inspiring us the way you have done this.
Thank you so much.
A decade now.
Thank you so much for having me. Really, it was so lovely being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So that was a really cute conversation with Alicia. What else did you expect? Also, yes, of course, in case you haven't checked out her work, I don't know how that's even possible. But yeah, I will put her links in the show notes below. And thank you again so much for listening to the season two of Paper Pencil Podcast. As I said, I will take some time and I think in the near future or some sort of a future, I will bring back season three. But thanks again for checking it out. You can listen to all the previous episodes. I think there are some more than 70 or 80. So if you start from the top again, I think you'll have like an entire lifetime to finish it off. But thanks a ton. And cheers.